Praise God. So we have been in a series called How Faith Comes, and on Wednesday we focus on faith and healing, and we do a lot of times, we use the study courses from Brother Hagin. They put out a long time ago, Bible lessons, but we don't just run through them like verbatim. You know, we'll go and we'll just be led by the Holy Spirit and just go. You know, we may spend a whole service just on a bit of it, but we'll make our way through these things. And like this one, that this is just some lessons in the Bible Faith Study course. You can buy these things on Rhema's website, and this is what I've used for a long time. That's why you'll hear a lot of Brother Hagin's stories in there. And like we said last week, it's not the specific stories. It's accounts that agree with the Word of God. Our experience itself, you don't build doctrine on experience. You build doctrine on the Word of God, and specifically the New Testament. I mean, the whole Bible's good, but you have to interpret the old in light of the new. You don't go and start building doctrine on the Old Testament. You have to find it in the New Testament and be able to, let me say it this way. You have to interpret what's in the Old Testament and interpret it in the light of the new. That doesn't mean, you know, there's things that run through the Old Testament that you'll see, and people say, well, this isn't emphasized in the New Testament. Yeah, well, if it didn't change and it doesn't contradict anything in the New Testament, nothing changed. That doesn't mean it passed away. Okay? People say, well, I got to find all these verses. This isn't talked about a whole time. Yeah, but there's all this stuff in the Old Covenant. That's God's Word too. Amen. You can say amen there. Because there's people that would try, the day and age, that just tried to throw, oh, that's Old Covenant. That's not for us. That's not true. Did you hear me?
Yep.
And the Gospels, that's the Word of God too. In fact, the Word, the living Word, was walking around. I know I said some of these things a few weeks ago, but we'll just emphasize them here a little bit. The living Word walked on this earth, Jesus. And when He spoke, how many of you know it was true? So for us to say, oh, well, it was the Old Covenant because it's, you know, He hadn't died yet. Really? So He didn't know what He was talking about. The Christ? Jesus. If we're Christians, how many of you ought to believe we should believe what the Christ said? Huh? Now, there's certain things you got to take in context, what He's saying. You know, you don't take what He said to the Pharisees and just say, well, that's everything for you. Well, they were being hard-headed and stubborn. Well, if you're hard-headed and stubborn, then maybe you can learn some stuff from it. But if you're not, you don't have to take stuff, you know. You got to interpret the Word. It's a whole counsel of God. There's so many that we could go different things, but there's certain truths that people have tried to just wipe out and say, well, I just don't see where this is emphasized. It's mentioned, but it's just not emphasized in the New Testament. There's these several verses. Yeah, but you can find all these in the Old Covenant, and nothing in the New Covenant contradicts it. That means it stands. Amen. I'm just going to go on, but it will bless you if you'll read. You know, read through the Psalms, read through the Proverbs, read through the Bible, you know, periodically. You don't spend the majority. I would not spend the majority of my time there. Okay, very practically, spend the majority of your time in the New Covenant, and specifically in the epistles, the letters, Romans, you know, right up to Revelation. Okay, you can read that too, but it, you know, it's you can dive into Revelation. You know, I would spend the majority of my time in Romans, 1 Corinthians, you know, Colossians, Galatians, and Ephesians, and Philippians, all these, Hebrews. You read those, but you want to just, it'll give you a perspective. If you'll read through the Old Covenant, you'll read through Proverbs consistently. Read through Psalms consistently. If you're ever going through a trying time, pick up the Psalms. Because David went through some trying times. Do you know that? How many people right now, you have people trying to kill you? Maybe don't raise your hand. Just think it. But David did. He had people trying to kill him. They wanted him dead. And so when you talk about pressure, he had pressure, but he made God his strength. So that's a good place. Proverbs will give you wisdom, direction, guidance in the practical affairs of life. I encourage you, if you find some of the Old Covenant hard to read, read it in a translation like, recently I've started reading it in the New Living Translation. Now, I'll just tell you what I do. You don't build doctrine on paraphrases or it's called the New Living Translation. It's pretty good. I really like it, but not everywhere, okay? It's not everywhere. There are certain things you can see. The way it is, it's doctrine. It's somebody's belief system put in there. Because then I'll go, I haven't read that verse for a while, but that doesn't seem like that's what it really says. And I'll go back and look in the King James, New King James, and sure enough, if you look in the New King James, which is very much a word-for-word translation, the other thing is not there. It's somebody adding their paraphrase. Does that mean we throw it out? No, there's a whole lot of places it's very good, and others are very good, okay? But when you have all these accounts in the Old Covenant, it makes it a lot easier to read when it's a modern translation, to be honest with you. If you have a hard time, look at it in maybe a modern version. That will help you read stuff. The stories, I mean, they're really good. I mean, they're accounts, they're true, but that'll help you. And you don't want to throw the Old Covenant out. It gives you a balanced perspective. You see, the Bible says that the Old Covenant, they were given to us for our examples, our patterns. You can see what somebody did wrong, and you can say, I don't want to do that. I don't like the way that turned out. You can see it in action. You know, if you read Proverbs, it'll tell you, chapter 5, 6, 7 in there, it just repeats over and over. Stay away from the immoral woman. Over and over. I mean, it's just like, just keeps going. Don't you go near her. And it says, you are never going to remove the shame. You're a fool if you do it, basically. It's a dumb thing to do. Commit adultery. Well, then you have some poster boys for this, you know. I mean, look what David did. David, he had a man murdered, essentially, and took his wife. He saw his wife. He could have anybody. He's the king. He decides to take this man's wife, commits adultery with her, Bathsheba, and then a good man. Wants to serve him, has him pretty much murdered in battle, has him go forward and everybody else pull back. And you go and follow David and his child dies after. That's not God doing it. It's just stuff. You bring judgment on yourself. It's another sermon. But, it's not God bringing stuff, but you do stuff. You set yourself up for judgment to come on, and it's not God doing it. The destroyer is going to do it, but you're setting yourself. How did that work out for David? He cried out and said, I've sinned against you. So you can look at that and say, well, I want that in my life. And you can go do it, or you can say, you know what? That was not a good move. I'm not going to do that. So it's a good thing. They're examples for us. But you can look at godly as examples. You can see what people did. You can look at the Israelites and the different kings and how messed up they got when they didn't serve God. And you can say, you know what? I don't ever want to go away from God. That doesn't work out. But you can see the example of David early in his life. David and Goliath. And when he was on fire for God and the spirit of faith that he had, he's going to take out little guy. Not that big, but he's going to take out a 9-foot, 10-foot giant. Nobody would take that challenge. And he said, I'll do it. I'll take that guy out. I've taken out the lion and the bear. This guy, he's just going to be like one of them. I'll take him out. He's telling the king this. Well, that's a good example. You can talk about faith. That's faith. That's faith. You're looking at it and saying, I'll take you out. By the Spirit of God, I'm going to take you out. Not by what I do. You come against me with a big sword, a big javelin, I'm taking you down, pal. That's faith. So you can get a balanced view. Amen. Amen. So don't throw away the Bible. It's very practical. Okay? Don't throw away the Old Covenant. But spend the majority of time in the epistles, because the letters, because those were written to you as a new Christian. Some people say, well, send them to John, read the gospel. Well, that's a good gospel, but that's just the account of Jesus. Read that, but start right in Romans or Colossians or Galatians or Ephesians. Get right into what is yours. They're short. They're not big. You know, don't send, if somebody asks you, where should I start in the Bible? Don't send them to Genesis. Genesis is good, but really quickly they're going to get into, you know, Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all these things, and they're probably going to stall. How many of you have ever stalled in those areas? I know I have a lot. When I was growing up, I was trying to be a good kid, read, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so, I just, you know, start skimming it because it's just so boring. But anyway, praise God. So, how do we get off on that? Anybody know? I don't remember. Anyway, we're in a, I said, we don't build doctrine on people's stories or accounts. We build doctrine on the Word of God. Specifically, you know, as a Christian, the whole Bible is God's Word, but, you know, you want to look, specifically build doctrine on the New Covenant or on the Old, enlightened by the New, and but we don't build it on people's accounts, but if the accounts, stories, help you, they illustrate what the Bible is saying, then that's something tangible that we can relate to. I like practical. If you can't show me how to apply it, I want to see how to apply it in just in every area of life. A lot of times that's how I operate. I'm a software engineer by training, and I want to know how something works. I don't necessarily care about all the nitty-gritty. I'm just telling you, me personally, I don't care about all the nitty-gritty of the behind the scenes, but if you give me the example of how can I make it work in my life, how can I make that program work? Give me the example so I can get the job done that I want to get done. I don't care about knowing every little thing about it, but I have a job to do. How can I get that done? Well, account stories bring something a lot of time, a concept that we hear about, and it brings it into an example from life that if it lines up with the Word, then if it's something that somebody experienced that illustrates that Word, it makes it touchable. Because you can see another human being go through it, and if you can relate to that, you could see how it applies to your life. And you could see it working and overcoming in your life. That helps us. That's why Jesus would talk in parables. He'd give accounts. And so I say all that to say this. Now, last week I said some of this, and I only got through one, and it was just, boy, you know, there was just a lot. I encourage you, go back and listen to that message last week. It was easy to preach. I mean, it's easy to preach tonight, too, but there's a lot of stuff. It was just, I didn't get through the things I thought. But I do believe we're going to go through several accounts here. And I'm going to read them to you verbatim. Just, you know, they're from different things. And because they're helpful. And they're in these lessons and they work. They're good. But we're talking about how faith comes. No, we got to get moving if we're going to get through. So, we've read, I can't recap all this, but we've read, first of all, let's see, I'll have you turn to this. Go ahead and turn to Romans 10. This is the verse that we want to start with. So lay your eyes on it, because some of you haven't. Romans 10, verse 17. This is the verse, kind of our text, Romans 10, 17. It says, everybody there? It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means we need to hear what the Bible is saying. It just gets done talking about, you know, to in order to believe, and if in order to call on God, you need to believe. In order to believe, you need to hear. In order to hear, you need a preacher, and the preacher needs to be sent. And so it goes back and says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. How faith is going to come in our lives for any given area is by hearing the word on that area, in that area. In other, you could have faith. We emphasize faith and healing on Wednesdays, but you could have faith for healing and not have any for finances. You could have faith for healing and not believe that God could bring you a spouse or to have children. Do you realize that? Faith is not universal, the same faith in general, faith in God, but that has to come from the Word. And then faith for any given subject has to come from His Word. So we looked at, and you can jot these down if you haven't already heard them, but you know, we looked at we first looked at Acts 10 and 11. We talked about Cornelius. Then we looked at Acts 14, 7, where it talks about this man at Lystra who received faith to become healed, be healed, and he was crippled in his feet, his whole life. And he heard Paul preach. And when he heard Paul preach, he had faith to be healed, and he stood up and he walked. A man that had never walked started walking because he received faith to be healed. All right, so we've talked about that. We've built on this. I encourage you, go listen to those messages if you haven't, because I can't recap. We're building on that. We're building on what we've heard, okay? I've read you this scripture. We've read a number of scriptures. We've talked about certain things. I'm going to read you some of these accounts, and there's going to be scripture in there as well. But I can't, you know, we're not going to get through it if I don't move forward a little bit here on reading some of these. So we read last week Brother Hagin's testimony of how he was healed, and he heard the word, but there was a lot of stuff. He heard the word. He had a heart condition. He was paralyzed. He had a blood condition, and he heard the word, and all the doctrine that he had ever heard that contradicted healing would come to his mind. He read the word, and he believed he could be healed, but then thoughts would come that he couldn't be healed, and he had to combat that, and we talked about that some. But here I also want to read, praise God, should we go there or this other place? I'm going to read this through. I'm going to try not to stop, but I'll try to go through it. But I read this to you last time, but I stopped a lot and interjected. But I'm just going to kind of read this, and then we're going to move on, I believe. But I'm just going to read you that testimony so that we can kind of hook up with it. So I'm just going to read you what Brother Hagin said. He said, more than 60 years ago on the bed of sickness as a young denominational boy reading Grandma's Bible, the more I read the Word, the more I learned. I realized that I had never heard the full gospel, just part of it. There's a lot of people in that boat. You realize there's a lot of doctrines in the world, and they're slivers of truth. And that's why there's a lot of churches, you know, all over. People have gone with certain truths, but they've ignored other truths, and then other truths come back into light, and then people pick them back up again, but then people divide. That's why you just sometimes wonder, why doesn't everybody just get in the same page? Well, because people are people, and they don't do that very easily. So it's not a mystery. The fullness of the gospel hadn't been taught in my church, see? He had heard doctrine. Just because you go to church and hear teaching does not mean it's all right, and doesn't mean it's the full truth. We want to base our belief on the Word. The more I read the Bible, the more I realized that I didn't have to die. The more I read God's Word, the more I realized that I could be healed. Of course, the devil was right there trying to tell me that healing had been done away with. Some people have heard that. I had been taught that God would heal if He wanted to, but saying that God could heal, but that He might not want to, is an even bigger insult than saying He couldn't heal. Both of them are lies. I read the word concerning healing, but the devil was right there to try to oppose me. The devil brought to my remembrance all the doubt and unbelief I'd ever heard. See, the devil will challenge you when you start to hear the truth. There'll be thoughts there, well, that's not true, that's not. Well, how are you going to determine what's true? You got to go back to the word. But you might have to push through some stuff. Because the devil does not want, there is an enemy, there is a being called Satan, and he wants to keep men and women in darkness. There is a light, there is a truth, and that's what we have to take a hold of firm and go toward. That's what Brother Hagin is illustrating here, and we all have to do the same thing in our lives. He said, I read the word concerning healing, but the devil was right there to try to oppose me. The devil brought to my remembrance all the doubt and unbelief I've ever heard. He brought to my remembrance all that I'd been taught on the subject of healing. Something that helped me immeasurably was that even though people had told me that healing had been done away with, I couldn't remember hearing that faith had been done away with. I never heard that. As I studied the Word of God, I saw that faith had not been done away with. For example, the text in Acts chapter 14 says that the man at Lystra had faith to be healed. In Mark 5:34, concerning the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said, Daughter, thy faith, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Therefore, the Bible clearly shows that faith has not been done away with. The man at Lystra had faith to be healed, and concerning the woman with the issue of blood, it was her faith that made her whole. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Notice, so that Mark 5:34, Jesus didn't say that his power or his faith had made the woman whole. Jesus said that the woman, he said to the woman, your faith has made you whole. Brother Hagin says, when I saw this, I knew that if her faith made her whole, then my faith could make me whole too. And thank God it did. My faith tapped into the power of God and I was made whole. My paralysis disappeared and my heart condition was healed. And he says, since then I've been going at a hop, skip, and jump, and have been preaching the truth of the gospel, including healing, ever since. Now, one way you can tell a testimony or an account that is it lines up with the Bible is it's going to give glory to God. It won't glorify men. Notice he said, "This I just acted on the word. Thank God it worked, and this can work for you too." If you ever run into somebody that's touting themselves, or you have to do it this way, or go to this church, and they're not giving the glory to God and His Word, there's something wrong there. I'm not saying everything's wrong. I'm not saying the people are evil. I'm just saying true testimony will give glory to God. I did appreciate, and I always have, all the testimonies that have been given, you know, in our church, both this last time, last fall, they gave glory to God. Didn't give glory to Shelley, myself, didn't give glory to the church per se. They gave glory to God and His Word, and that His Word changes lives. And that's what we're after. We're just messengers for Him. We are servants for Him. His Word and His Spirit, if we'll let it, that's what changes people, and that's what we should emphasize. So the man at Lystra, really quick, look over this. Let's turn over to Acts 14. Turn over to Acts 14, then I'm going to ask you to turn over to Romans. So why don't you go ahead while you're looking, find Acts 14 and find Romans 1. You already were in Romans, so if you had your finger there, you could go to Romans 1, but you probably lost it when I told you to go to Acts. So, but it's good exercise. Acts 14 and Romans 1. Romans 1, and once you, while you're at that, just go ahead and go, you know, it's a few pages back. You'll be able to find that. We're going to go to Romans 8. You'll be able to find that from Romans 1. So, Acts 14, this is the man in Lystra that we talked about, we mentioned earlier, but Acts 14, verse 7. Everybody there? Acts 14, verse 7. It says, and they were preaching the gospel there. Notice that. They were preaching the gospel. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. And so he got up and started walking, but he heard Paul preach something. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Well, how did the man get faith to be healed? The Bible says in the verse 7, they were preaching the gospel there. Now go to Romans 1. So they heard something. We're talking about how faith comes. This man heard something that gave him faith to be healed. And not just, you know, he didn't have a minor ailment. The man had never walked. So he had never used his legs to walk. So this is part of his life. He's always, you know, other people can walk, but he'd never been able to walk. So how many of you know that is built into his mentality? This is not a small thing. This is not something that happened last week, like he got, you know, in a car wreck, and then, you know, he's crippled, and now all of a sudden he believes God to be healed. No, he's had it for years and years, so he has lived with this. But he heard something so quick and powerful that it gave him faith to be healed, just from hearing Paul preach. Notice he did not go home and listen to MP3s for 3 months and lock himself up in a room to where he had faith to be healed. He did not do that. There was something so simple, so powerful, so quick that he heard Paul, and a man who had been crippled for his whole life received faith to be healed. Well, see, the word came. What was the word? Look at Romans 1, verse 16. It says, the gospel was preached. Here it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 16 said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And that word salvation in the Scofield Bible, this is the note in the Scofield Bible. It says the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. I'm going to say that again. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation, so this, the Bible says here, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What's salvation? It's not just being born again. It's not just being right with God. It is wholeness in every area. Anything that is not whole in your life, salvation, if you have the power of God unto salvation, you have the power of God to be made, to being made whole in that area. The gospel covers your situation. The gospel of Christ will make you whole. Just like this man, he heard the gospel and he received faith to walk. Well, you could hear the gospel and receive faith to come out of poverty. Do you know poverty is just death? God's not poor. Poverty is just a symptom of death. It's a symptom of the enemy in the world. God, that's not God's will. Destruction in your body is not God's will. It's death. It's not wholeness. It's the opposite. Destruction in your relationships, that's death. Well, salvation, the gospel, can restore anything. Any area can restore it. You say, I've lost too much. No, you haven't. The gospel, I mean, how hopeless is a man that's never walked? What do you think are, you know, thank God for medical science, thank God for doctors, but what would the prognosis be? You've never walked. Sorry. I don't even think today, I don't know what the condition was, but likely, even today, couldn't do anything for him. It's always been like that. But with God, it was possible. Could be whole. That's a pretty hopeless situation. I mean, but, so in any area, you look at it, you say, well, God can fix it. God can bring it up because the gospel is wholeness. So I finished reading this sentence. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. I like that word. If something is sound, soundness, what is that? Like solid, sound. If you have a sound marriage, what does that mean? Strong, stable. It means you can hit it. You know, like these beams, the beams and then these columns. You know, hopefully we're in here. You know, they're sound. They're not going to move. You know, you hope, you want those chairs and these, you know, this thing to be sound. See, John Lewis just sitting there relaxing, so he trusts that that thing is sound. If you had a rickety chair, you wouldn't say this is sound. You say, oh, I'm not sitting in that. Land up on the floor. Well, sound is solid. That's the way God wants our life to be, and that's what was preached. And this man was healed. But notice, he heard something. He heard the gospel, and the gospel, he acted on it, and he experienced it. Praise God. There's also, I'm going to skip over this because I want to read this other account here. But do I have time? I think I do. Real quick, I'll read you this and you can look it up later, but just another scripture that backs that up, and then we're going to go into another account. It says in Acts 8:5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ, the gospel unto them, and people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So Christ was preached, and people were healed. So that's the same thing as what we're talking about with salvation, including healing. The New Testament knows no Christ without Christ the healer. In other words, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, he is the healer. There is no Jesus that doesn't heal. Okay? He heals. It's just that some people have been taught that he doesn't, or that that's been done away with. That doesn't change the fact that he is the healer. It'd be like, you know, people can say whatever they want about me, but what they say about me doesn't change who I am. Somebody could lie about me. That doesn't mean I'm different, or you, right? Well, people have lied about God. They've had help to lie about God and what Jesus is. Doesn't change the truth. We need to believe the truth. Now, this is an account of P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson was a Baptist minister, and he said healing is part and parcel of the gospel. During the time Reverend Nelson was pastoring a church in Detroit, Michigan in 1921, so remember, he was Baptist, nothing against Baptists, but majority of them do not believe in divine healing. During the time Reverend Nelson was pastoring a church in Detroit, Michigan in 1921, he was run over by an automobile. The doctor said that one of his legs would have to be taken off at the knee. They said that if by some miracle it didn't have to be amputated, at the very least it would be stiff for the rest of his life. But P.C. Nelson related that as he lay there in the hospital, the Lord began to talk with him. The Lord brought to his mind James 5:14 and 15. Don't turn there, I'll read you, but you're familiar with it, maybe some of you. It says, is any sick among you? James 5:14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Reverend Nelson said that he tried to excuse himself by telling the Lord that they didn't practice this in his church. He said the Lord reminded him of a man and his wife, Reverend Nelson knew, who believed in the anointing with oil according to the scripture. The Lord told Reverend Nelson that he should call them and have them pray for him. So Reverend Nelson contacted them and they came to pray for him. They anointed him with oil and prayed and he was healed. His leg didn't have to be taken off. His knee wasn't stiff. God's word is good. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Praise God. It's almost 8. Got time for one more? You want me to quit? All right, because I think this will sew it up pretty nice here. So down in Texas a few years ago, this is Brother Hagin say, or the account here. It says a fine denominational minister had a very outstanding ministry. I've heard him on his recordings talk about this, but he gave more detail. But it says many of the denominational churches would sponsor him in citywide meetings. In his evangelistic endeavors, he became sick. And by his own testimony, within a couple of years, all his own money was gone. He had $10,000 in the bank, and that was a lot of money back then. I mean, this is years and years and years ago. But in 2 years' time, his money was gone. He had to sell his automobile, his home, and most of his books in order to pay his doctor bills. He had been everywhere, including the Mayo Clinic, to try to receive help, but he was none the better. Rather, he grew worse. Finally, he was hospitalized in California. The doctor said that he was going to die. The minister contacted his brother, who lived in California, to borrow some money so he could go home to Texas where he could die. Their 82-year-old mother lived in Texas, and he wanted to see his mother before he died, so his brother sent him the money, and he went home. The minister went to live with his mother at the old home place in Texas where he grew up. His mother was so glad to see him. He told his mother that he came home to die. His dear old mother had a 19-year-old boy who lived there with her who did the chores around the place. This 19-year-old boy became the sick minister's nurse. The boy had to turn the sick man on his bed and dress him. One day the boy said to him, "Why don't you let the Lord heal you?" The Bible says that if there is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you. Here was a minister who supposedly knew the Bible and yet didn't even know these scriptures were in the Bible. He had gone to school and studied everything but the Bible. The minister told the boy to get his Bible and find that passage of scripture, but the boy had never learned how to read. The man asked him how he knew that that passage was in the Bible. The boy said his preacher had told him it was in the Bible, so the denominational minister looked up the scriptures and read them. So he had to go and search, and he found them. The boy told the minister that his preacher was having a healing meeting under a brush arbor and invited the minister to come. Arrangements were made for the minister to come to the meeting. Someone brought an old Model T Ford and made a bed in the back of it for the minister. They drove up as close to the brush arbor as they could, and after the service, the preacher came out and anointed the sick minister with oil and prayed over him. It was about midnight before the minister and the boy returned home. When the minister got home, he asked his mother to let the boy fire up the wood stove so she could fry him some ham and eggs. He had been eating baby food and soft foods because he couldn't eat any solid food. In fact, he hadn't anything to eat except baby food in 2 years. The man told his mother that he was healed. He told her that the preacher had anointed him and prayed for him. The mother said later that her son related this, she thought he had lost his mind. He also wanted his mother to make some old-fashioned country biscuits for him to eat. She thought that since he was going to die anyway, he might as well die happy. So she did what he wanted and made the biscuits and fried eggs and ham. He ate that meal and didn't suffer any ill effects whatsoever. He was completely healed. This minister then began to write about his healing and sent articles in for publication in various magazines. Calls began to come in for him to hold revival meetings. He arranged a citywide meeting for Kansas City. The boy told him that before he went to the meeting, he needed to get filled with the Holy Spirit. The minister said that by that time he was ready to believe anything that the 19-year-old boy told him, so he asked the boy what he should do. The boy explained to him how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, invited him to another Brush Arbor meeting. When the invitation was given, the minister went to the altar and received the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Amen. So, how did this man get faith for healing? And how did he get faith to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He heard the Word. Now, he was a minister. He had studied certain things, but he did not know what the Bible said. And a 19-year-old, uneducated boy shared with him what the Bible said. He believed it. He acted on it. He said, you know, it took faith to say, well, we're going to the meeting. You're going to back him up in a, you know, in a car and have somebody. That takes faith. And he believed it. And God met him, and he was healed. How did it come? He heard what the Word of God said in that area. This will work the same in every area, and it will work the same for anybody. There are certain things that we don't have because we haven't heard the Word. We need to hear the Word, and then we need to believe the Word, because faith will come, but you need to act on it, do it, and we'll have it. Amen.